We're talking to Dean Clancy, and he is a senior healthcare policy fellow for Americans for Prosperity. And, you know, it's interesting, Dean, when people talk about healthcare policy generally, they talk a lot about what government can do to change healthcare policy. Well, sometimes government tries to do a little bit more than, or at least has consequences that are a little bit more than what we expect. You wrote a piece about that, and I wanted to talk about that just a little bit. Can you explain what the Biden administration has attempted to do and kind of what the results have been?
Yeah, I'm happy to and delighted to be with you. The Biden administration has doubled down on the policies of Barack Obama and others who have really expanded government's role in healthcare. And as a result, healthcare has become a lot more expensive. For example, the president has increased the subsidies that go through the Affordable Care Act to health insurance companies in the hopes that that will make health insurance more available to people, significantly so. Hundreds of billions of dollars a year now flowing from the Treasury to the health insurance industry. And he's imposed government price controls that are certain to cause shortages in prescription drugs in the Medicare market and will reduce research and lead to fewer new cures in the future. And yet, on the campaign trail, he's saying that he's got all these great healthcare accomplishments. But I think for people who are actually trying to pay for health insurance, which is more expensive than it has ever been, those accomplishments ring hollow.
So fundamentally, it's just like anything else that that you and I have dealt with. Healthcare is hard because it is a market, but it's a market that's very feelings driven, because no one wants to see themselves or any member of their family or their friends pass or have a health condition that can't be treated or anything else. And so when you get into that side of it, then it becomes hard to think about it competitively, doesn't it?
Well, yes. I mean, healthcare is very personal. We're all patients sooner or later. We need healthcare. We do think about it emotionally. And yet that kind of emotional thinking has led to a lot of the problems we face in healthcare. We also need to think economically because market forces work in healthcare just like any other industry if you let them. And the problem is we haven't been letting them, and the result is that healthcare costs more than it would in a freer system, and our access to doctors and hospitals is actually shrinking because of Obamacare federal mandates that are, you know, misguided, maybe well-intentioned, but misguided. And, basically our compassion has led to what you might call a form of cruelty, and we need to rethink it. At AFP, we talk about a personal option approach to health reform. Basically, let's look for ways to put the patient more in charge of their own health care choices and their health care dollars. But let's have strong government safety nets so no one falls through the cracks, and, you know, reasonable regulations, but not over-regulation. If we did that, I think you'd see health care prices fall, quality go up, access improve. Why? Because there would be more competition, more price transparency. Patients would be consumers, which is not true today. Today in American healthcare, the patient really isn't the customer. The patient is the product, and that needs to change.
Well, and that's where the idea of having price transparency and trying to pass a law so that people know what they're being charged for healthcare was one of those things that sounds great on its face. But when you live in the rural part of the country and it doesn't matter how much it costs, you're going to be going to the same hospital because that's the one that's close enough. Then it becomes really it doesn't necessarily change anything. So what can be changed legislatively? What can be done to allow more of a free market approach to healthcare?
Well, you're absolutely right that rural areas have it hardest because they, you know, it's just there are fewer providers out there. And sometimes the policies actually discriminate against people providing care in rural and remote areas. For example, policies that make it hard for doctors to get paid equally in those areas and for nurses to relocate to those areas. But yeah, setting that aside for a moment, what can we do? Well, the personal option is not just a sort of slogan. It is a campaign and a specific legislative reform agenda. It consists of four basic ideas, which would really together, I think, have a transformative effect on American healthcare without disrupting it too much. The first would be, let's fund patients rather than insurance companies. Right now, a lot of what we do in healthcare in terms of subsidizing it, making sure people can have it, is just send checks to health insurance companies. That's especially true since Obamacare was enacted. The federal government's now sending something like $200 billion a year, with a B, to the health insurance industry and hoping some health care trickles down to patients. Why not let the patients have that money? There's a wonderful bill, the Health Care Fairness for All Act, introduced by Congressman Pete Sessions of Texas. It would basically say, if you want, that's your option, you could take the money the government currently spends on your health insurance, and some of this is invisible to you because it comes through the workplace, and you could just take that as cash, $4,000 for an individual, $2,000 for a child, and you spend it on the health insurance that meets your needs, and what you don't spend on health insurance, you can save in a tax-free health savings account and use that for future premiums, for copays, deductibles, prescriptions, doctor's appointments, you name it. You're going to get a tax break on all those purchases, so you're in charge. And that brings me to the second plank of the personal option, which is HSAs for all. Let everybody have the option of a tax-free health savings account. Right now, only about 1 in 10 Americans, as a practical matter, has access to this powerful financial tool. Let's let everybody have the choice. And then the third plank is, let's let everyone have direct access to doctors and cut out the insurance company middleman for things like primary care, you know, routine doctor's appointments, things that are not emergencies or major expenses. Just, you know, pay your doctor a monthly subscription to be available to you. This exists now. It's called direct primary care. It's growing like gangbusters because patients love the direct access and doctors love not having to spend all their time filling out insurance company paperwork. Direct primary care, it's the future of healthcare, and everyone should have access. And then the fourth and last plank of the personal option is, remove government barriers between patients and the medical professionals they trust. And a great example of that is these protectionist laws called Certificate of Need, where basically you have to get approval from a government board to add a new hospital in your community or add a new hospital wing or new beds or add an MRI machine. Basically, Certificate of Need is a way to reduce competition, and it's dominated by the existing competitors in the market. And luckily, Kansas is good. They don't have a Certificate of Need, and so they have a more competitive hospital market. We should remove barriers like that throughout healthcare to help increase supply of providers and promote competition and reduce prices.
We're not going to spend much time on this, Dean, but I did want to touch on it because it's so much a part of what healthcare is these days, and that is prescription drug prices. And I've spoken many times to lots of different folks about this, and the Biden administration is attempting to control prescription drug prices with mandates rather than trying to let the market work. And is that working?
No, it's not. Prescription drug prices are never going to come down because of price controls. Whenever you do a price control, what you really get is a shortage. You just get less of the thing. And they've imposed this on Medicare. Now the president on the campaign trail is saying, let's impose these price controls on all drugs. That's just going to make the problem of shortages even worse. The better approach is to promote competition. These drug companies have patent monopolies because they spent a lot of money developing and inventing a cure. But those monopolies are supposed to be temporary. And they've learned to game the system to, in effect, prolong their monopolies for many years, and that's keeping prices high for prescription drugs. We should reform the patent laws so that that kind of gaming can't go on, and so we get generic competition sooner. And by the way, generic competition in America is actually quite robust. 90% of what we spend on drugs is for generics, and most of those are very competitive and their prices are constantly falling. And if we had that even, you know, more accelerated, we would solve this prescription drug cost problem.
Well, because it is important for companies to get their investment back, but once they've done that, then you want to push them on to the next investment, right? And that's what this isn't doing.
That's right. Prescription drug price controls disincentivize the risk takers and inventors to come up with that next new breakthrough or cure, because it's not going to give them the return that would make, and it's very expensive to develop a drug. It's like $3 billion for a new drug and 10 years going through the whole research process and the government approval process. So that takes a lot of capital to do. And if you impose government price controls, basically you're effectively raising that price. And so a lot of cures just simply won't get developed. And all economists, right, left, and center, agree on this. The only thing they tend to disagree about is how severe the negative effects will be.
So again, fundamentally, trying to get more of a personal option into healthcare is one of the ways that would give an opportunity for the market to work from a healthcare perspective. And that's something that you talked about earlier in the segment. But if folks want to contact their congressman and say, hey, be paying attention to these pieces of legislation as they come through, they can go ahead and do that as well, can't they?
Yes, I would encourage folks to visit a website that Americans for Prosperity has set up. It's called personaloption.com, personaloption.com. You can, you know, sign up for updates on these healthcare reform issues. You can also see a list of the bills, the legislation that we are supporting. And you can urge, we even make it easy for you to urge your members of Congress to put their name on and vote in favor of these personal option bills.
Again, we've been talking to Dean Clancy with Americans for Prosperity about healthcare.